This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Dub Nation is Moses Moody. Catch my head coach Steve Kerr with Willard and Dibbs each and every week right here on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, that's the dude right there that's not getting enough talk. That's the dude right there. Same dude at the beginning of the year when I'm getting phone calls from all my buddies going, dude, I don't understand why they don't play Moses Moody more. Well, Avenue has now been created for him in a different way. And I would argue because of his ability, not perfect, but because of his ability to knock down the three, and this new trade, which has thinned out the roster a little bit. Like, if I look at the month of February, listen to these numbers, okay?
Yeah.
24, 32, 22, 33, 27, 34. That's Moses Moody's minutes in games in February. That's a lot of minutes. So for everybody who's been fighting for the Moses Moody era, by the way, double-digit scorer in five of those six games.
Yep.
So if you've been fighting for the Moses Moody era, we're here. We're here. Now, I don't know how it shakes out when Jonathan comes
right
back.
Are we here?
Well, but that's the guy. That's the guy that allows you, I think, to put Jonathan, have him come off of the bench, because Moses is somebody who, when playing with Jimmy, when playing with Draymond, etc., that's a guy that I like seeing shoot a three.
But you'd like to have him play the four, and Kuminga plays the four, and so you don't want Draymond to play a ton at the five, and so Steve said, you know, we're going to have to play Draymond at the five, so now you've got Jimmy Butler, who's going to play the three, and when you have Moody and Kuminga both coming back, I don't know how you find minutes for both of them when you want them to play the four.
No, Moody starts. Kuminga comes off the bench. A little bit of overlap here and there, because these things are all, to a degree, interchangeable. But I just can't
help but think that Moody's minutes go back down.
They might go. I'm sure they'll go down a little bit.
Well,
I think he's a significant piece of the puzzle.
I would brace myself for his minutes to go down a lot more than just a little. And I know you mentioned 34 and 27 and 33, and he's been playing a lot. But you go back earlier in the year, and there's a 9, there's a 15, there's a 14. I wonder if he doesn't get his minutes carved back to where they once were. And it's made a little bit easier because Slo-Mo is gone and Dennis is gone and TJD is mostly gone. He's been buried on the bench. So if you look at a 9 or 10-man rotation, Moses is still in there. I just wonder if he doesn't sustain a little bit of a cut in what he's playing right
probably
now.
Probably a little bit. I'm not saying he needs to be up at 30 minutes. I'm just saying that to me, Moses is a huge piece of the puzzle of Jimmy Butler / Jonathan Kuminga and floor spacing. And he hasn't been amazing from three, but certainly good enough.
Yeah.
I don't even have his stats in front of me for the year. What's he shooting from three?
Just from February, since his minutes have been great in February, And over that span, he's shooting 27%.
Yeah, it's a little misleading because he had the one game that was a really bad game. He went 0-for-5.
I followed it up with a 1-for-5 and a 2-for-8.
Yeah, so but he's also before that he was a 3-for-5 and a 2-for-6.
He's at 37% for the year.
For the year, which is very
better
workable.
Than most.
That's very workable.
Well, if you want to look at other guys on the team, for example, Pods, who's at 32%, I believe, on the year from three. And if you start to go through on this team, who do you want to shoot a 3-point shot when they're open or contested? Well, I would put Moses.
That's a fun question.
Well, for me, it's Steph obviously is number one.
Steph's number one.
And then beyond that.
Is Buddy Hield number two?
I mean, that's the question. Is it Moses or is it Buddy? Because it should be Buddy, but over the last 3 months now, it hasn't been Buddy.
Or is it Quentin Post?
Right. And again, a really small sample. He's only shot, like, 30 threes on the whole year.
Quentin Post.
Maybe a few more than that, but not many more than that.
Quentin Post on the year has shot, well, first of all, he's shooting 39 points.
Yeah, 63. Yep.
25
of 63. Okay.
Yeah.
Right, so that's a pretty small sample.
But it's a good percentage, especially for a big dude.
Yeah, I mean, big dude who doesn't play big on defense. So
I know.
On offense, he's a stretch five. On defense, he's a turnstile.
Well, but
so,
play that.
Like, what are we doing?
Answer it. So Steph Curry, that's who you want shooting a three. Who's next?
It's Buddy Hield. As much as I have to hold my nose when I answer it, it's Buddy Hield. And I look at the track record of Buddy Hield, and he still is this year 36% from three, which includes the first month where he was shooting darn near 50%, and since then he's been not terrible, but he's not been good. It's been a struggle. I know it's been a big, long struggle up against.
And for me, it's not just percentage, and when they go down, it's the quality of the shot. It's when you take the
shot.
That's
fair.
I actually do think I would vote for Moses Moody. I think that's who I want next shooting a three because Moses, I've never seen Moses take a bad three. When is Moses taking a shot where you're like, what the hell are you doing, dog? And Quentin Post is, you know, flavor of the month, so that's good too, but I'm not going to give him that label yet. And so my answer is it should be Buddy Hield, but it's not.
Yeah, for me it's Buddy.
It's Moses Moody.
Buddy's shooting 32.6 in the same February stretch where Moses is at 27.8. Yeah. He's shooting more threes, and he's making slightly more threes than Moses. But, I mean, that's the real answer is it should be. I think the real question is who do you really not want to shoot a three? And that becomes a very long, long list.
Also Buddy Hield.
Well, I mean,
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you have about eight guys in your 10-man rotation who would qualify under who you don't want to shoot a three.
I mean, right now I would say the list of people where you have some sort of shoulder stress reaction when they're about to pull up from three, it's Buddy when it's a bad shot. It's Pods.
Jeez, yeah.
It is.
Nope.
And it's Brandon Pajamski. It's Draymond just cuz. I mean, like he's been much better at it this year.
Yeah, higher percentage than Pods.
So it's GP2 if he's not in the corner. Those don't feel good at all. And
look at Gee shooting 41%.
Yeah, there's Gee. And at times there have been moments throughout this year where it's Kuminga.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
And Jimmy Butler.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy, like, I mean, how many threes?
He's taken seven in four games.
Yeah, as a Warrior, shot seven of them.
Right.
And how
in
many
four
brought
games.
In? Two?
One.
Oh, one.
One. But still, that's almost two a game.
Yeah.
And those are basically giveaways. Like, if you're shooting 14%, and I know his career number is closer to 30%, the list of guys you don't want to shoot is a lot longer than guys who you do want to shoot.
Let's take some calls. Chris Broussard in less than 10 minutes. Tim in North Carolina. Hi, Tim. Thanks for calling.
What's up, fellas? Hey, I just wanted to chime in real quick, guys. This is what I feel. Like, our coach is making $17 million a year, right? And this is not a small sample size. If you know you got this kid coming back that over his entire career, when he's getting 30 minutes a game, it's going to give you 21 points, 6 rebounds, and he shoots 40% from three when he plays 30 minutes a game. that is too much of a valuable weapon coming back to this team that has, that had to play an integral part in its success. So if they know the analytics and they know these numbers, then, guys, he's actually a 40% shooter this year on catch and shoot three. So it's not even about playing these games. Is he going to play 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes? I agree with you, Mark. For them to do something real, they need this weapon, and they better find a way to just make it happen. So if my coach is making 17 mil, and you know the analytics, get the guy 30 minutes and get him out there to produce for you. And now you got three players, Jimmy, Steph, Kuminga. Any of them could get you 20 to 35 points, and Steph can get you way more than that on any given night. And now you're cooking with grease. You got other people that can then fill in with a 10, 15, 20 points. I mean, that's what we got, guys. So, to me, we don't even have to think that hard about it. This is the weapon you got coming back to your team. Ramp him up, get him where he needs to go, and give him his damn prime so he can produce and help you take it to another level.
Yeah, Tim, I think you've got a very, very good point. At the same time, I do think you're simplifying it a little bit because it's not that simple.
And what does it matter what Steve makes?
Well, I get what his point is. He's using that to make a point.
He's making $17 million, figure it out.
You got a big-time coach, so figure it out, and that's fine. But the bottom line is Jimmy Butler's on the team now, and that's a very big presence, and you can't just say, hey, Jonathan's good, stick him in there and figure it out. Well, they don't. You said they have all the analytics. They don't. They have no analytics on Jonathan playing with Jimmy.
Exactly.
None. And they got to go get him. And I think that's all he was saying. I think that's all Steve was saying.
I get that part of it. And they are going to just stick him in there, and they are going to play him. And you're right. They're going to figure out how it looks. And all we heard from Steve for a long time was, you know, Wiggins and Kuminga just doesn't work. And then suddenly Wiggins and Kuminga started to work.
A little better. Yeah.
Much better this year. And then you traded Wiggins. But at least you kind of found ways that those players could play together and they could work together. And the same thing's going to happen here where Jimmy and Kuminga are going to play together, and you're going to figure out what works for each of them.
Those of you on hold, stay right where you are. We'll keep going with phone calls throughout the hour, 888-957-9570. However, Chris Broussard of FS1, longtime NBA analyst, who was out here for All-Star Weekend, by the way, will join us coming up next. We're sponsored by the San Francisco International Airport, and this is Willard and Dibbs.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Streaming live on Twitch and YouTube. Twitch.tv/95.7TheGame. YouTube.com/95.7TheGame. You can see Dibbs. You can look at his eyes. Look at his eyes. Got your NBA hat on right now? That's not an NBA hat?
No, it's the Matt Wynn Memorial, my fraternity brother, who we lost about 5 years ago. And the hat is NBA-esque, and the logo in this case is my buddy Matt, rest in peace, with his jorts on, taking a drop. Because he tend to hit the ball out of bounds a lot.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
Whenever you get a jorts reference, we're in on it. Subscribe to our channels, all powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Been a minute since we've had a chance to talk to our next guest. who joins us now on the River Islands guest line. I do believe he was out here in the Bay Area taking part in All-Star Weekend just recently, back home, tucked in and ready to chat it up, none other than FS1's Chris Broussard here on Willard and Dibs. Hey, Chris, what's going on, man?
What's up, Mark? How you doing, man? It's good to be on with you guys.
It is wonderful to have you. And I just actually opened up Instagram during our last commercial break, because that's what we do in 2025. When you have a minute, you open up social media, and there you were. There you were saying KD made a mistake. He should have gone to Golden State. Please explain.
Yeah, he absolutely made a mistake. You know, the talk around, at least I've heard from several people around the league, that the feeling is that he didn't go there because of Draymond. And they rekindled their friendship, but it's just that, you know, he didn't particularly like playing with Draymond. Draymond runs his mouth a lot. He directs traffic a lot. You know, just it can be aggravating to some players. But that's what the feeling is, at least among some people around the league. But the bottom line, you know, whether it's that, whether it's, you know, Steve Kerr alluded to all the problems he had with people, you know, when he first went to Golden State, and even not getting the credit, you know, for winning the two championships because people thought he hopped on the bandwagon. The bottom line is, to me, this time is completely different. Like, had he gone back this time, I think he would have been viewed, if he would have helped him win a championship or even get close, I think he would have been viewed more as a savior. Like, the Warriors are not the 73-win Warriors anymore. They'll be fortunate to get in the official playoffs. I mean, they'll probably make the play-in, but they'll be fortunate to actually get in the final eight. And if he were there and he helped them get close to a championship, I think he would have got a ton of credit. And had he led them to a championship, I think it would have been viewed as his best championship ever. Whereas staying in Phoenix, he is like, I mean, he's like off the radar. He's playing great individually. They'll be lucky to make the play in, right? They're in 11th spot right now. And so I just think that he could either, he had the choice of staying in Phoenix and basically being in basketball Siberia for the rest of the season, or making a run with the Warriors that really would have, you know, put him in the mix of the NBA championship race. And he chose, you know, the former, which I thought was a huge mistake.
Is it difficult to go home again, though, Chris, in that same spot? Because I know that the way you laid it out is accurate, and I see it that way, but a lot of fans, I think, especially outside our market, would look at it as him chasing a championship again. If you're KD, what can he actually do to kind of exonerate his own legacy?
Well, that's a great question, because I think, like, look, there's a lot of talk. We know Dallas went after Kevin Durant before the trade deadline, as the Warriors were going after him, too. And there's some talk. Well, yeah, I would imagine they'll try to do the same thing this offseason. And even if they got Kevin Durant and then they had him and Kyrie and Anthony Davis and they were able to win a championship, there would be those people who would say, well, that's a stacked team. Of course, he did it with them. He's always going to get some criticism. I think the only way he would have probably alleviated any criticism at all would be had he had more success in Brooklyn or even Phoenix. You know, had he been able to win there, I think people would have been like, okay, this guy can win anywhere. He can lead a team. But I just think people understand now, as great as Kevin Durant is, and he's a top 20 player all time, he is not like a leader and that's going to lead a team to a championship. So I think that that will, you know, when you look at the other, really the other two top players of this generation being Steph and LeBron, they each can lead teams and have led teams to championships. And KD is just not that same type of personality. And that's probably why he gets some of the grief he gets. And I don't know that any type of championship will fully 100% put away the criticism, but I do think more people would value would have valued the championship if he were to go to Golden State and win it than they valued his first two.
Chris Broussard, FS1, always analyzing hoops with us here, Willard and Dibs, 95-7 the game. Chris, I wonder what your prediction would be Golden State-wise. Like, I know Durant has spoken about, like, don't want to leave Phoenix, at least not now. And I'm not specifically pointing to Durant, but they made their big move. Jimmy Butler's here. He's got the extension, but they also trumpeted the idea that they still have flexibility. Do you believe the core of this roster is what it is and will stay that way for the next 2 years, or do you see more big moves coming?
Well, look, they're not a championship team yet. The Jimmy Butler move was great. I think Jimmy definitely helps them. He fits in with Draymond and Steph. And you're going to get, you know, he got his contract extension, so you should get the best of Jimmy Butler for the next, you know, 2 years or so. But they're not a championship team yet. I think they, at best, they make a, you know, a nice playoff run, maybe get to the second round. But they should keep building, and I think they will, because they know, look, let's try to win as many titles as we can with Steph. So I think they need to, you know, in the offseason, they should go after Kevin Durant again. And if indeed what a lot of people are saying is true, that Draymond was the issue, I would shop Draymond if I'm the Warriors. If I was able to get Kevin Durant by moving Draymond Green, I would do that. And, you know, you need Draymond's spirit and his defense. They need that because it's a great mix with Steph. But Jimmy Butler could fill that void. So if you had Jimmy Butler, Steph, and KD, I do think that's a team capable of winning a championship. And so I would certainly continue to pursue KD if I'm the Warriors. But outside of that, obviously they need to get a big and you know, everybody, like Dallas, is going to be looking to make moves this offseason. The Lakers are going to be looking to make moves. My Milwaukee, if they don't, you know, have a great postseason run, they're going to be likely making moves. Minnesota's going to, like, everybody's going to be looking to make moves this offseason, and the Warriors should be right there ready to do what they can with anybody.
Well, they got Kuminga to think about, but you mentioned the spirit of Draymond Green, and I know you heard his comments when he talked about how they will win the championship this year. When you hear Draymond saying that, is just that just athletic hubris, or do you really think that he believes that they actually have a live shot?
I do think he believes. I mean, I think Draymond is honest, you know, and I mean, we saw that on the NBA All-Star broadcast. Like, he's going to speak his mind, whatever the cost. And so I do think he believes it. I don't believe it, and I don't think many other people believe it. I want that from one of my leaders. Like, Steph may believe it as well. Like, they should feel that way, right? You want them to feel that way. And I will say this. Look, when you look at what Jimmy Butler has, like, when he was at his best, and he led Miami to two NBA, you know, finals appearances, I mean, he wasn't supposed to do that. Those teams were not that great. He wasn't supposed to beat that Boston team that eventually won a championship, but he did, you know, the year before that. And so he is – playoff Jimmy is real. You will get the best of Jimmy Butler, assuming he's healthy, in the playoffs. So I get Draymond's excitement, and I like it, again, but I just don't think this is a championship roster at the end of the day.
Chris, which phrase do you think best describes Jonathan Kuminga? Future all-star, a very good player, or future trade chip?
I would say a future trade chip. And I think all of those are mixed in. He is a very good player. He might make an all-star team or two in the future. But if the goal is to win now, and it is, then he's going to likely have to be in a deal. It's just as simple as that. And you hate to give him up because he does have great potential. But, you know, if you, again, I've talked about KD or whoever they might be able to get to help them get to the next level, he may very well need to be a part of it. Now,
Look, if they make a really nice run that surprises us and go deep into the second round, maybe get beaten six or seven games, or even get to the conference finals, and the feeling is that they're not as far away as we thought, then maybe they can get a collection of bigs, you know, kind of like Dallas had before, you know, they got Anthony Davis, Daniel Gafford, and Derek Lively, like, you know, role-playing bigs who aren't stars, and maybe you can get something like that without having to give up a Kuminga. But right now, the feeling is I think they're a little further away, and they'll probably need a little higher caliber player, so Kuminga might have to be a casualty. But, you know, I would imagine that their view is, let's see how this thing goes, and then we'll, you know, we'll be ready to make whatever moves we have to make in the offseason.
And it looks like they aren't done making moves come the offseason. They will try to shore this up even more. And I wonder, Chris, what you think about Steph Curry as a team's best player. Can he still be good enough for long enough from April to June to carry a team to an NBA championship?
Well, he's not quite what he used to be, but I do think he can still be the best player on the team. Like, I think he's the best player on the team now. And you need more around him, you know, like he, Clay, and Draymond, I don't think he could do that at this, you know, stage of his career. But, you know, with Butler, like I said, KD, I keep bringing him up, but I just think you need higher caliber players around Steph now to really be able to, you know, win the championship. And look, let's be quite honest. Not many people saw them winning it in 2022.
Yeah.
So maybe he can go ahead and, you know, surprise us. But to me, they clearly need upgrades. And again, I know what Draymond said, but that would be a shocker. That would be as shocking as the Luka Doncic trade if the Warriors even got to the finals, let alone won it.
So, Chris, let me ask it, though, this way. Like, because you're saying Draymond believes it, you don't believe it, most people don't believe it. I'm generally with you, at least until we see a whole lot more. But is it fair,
right.
Is it fair to say that right now, suddenly, the Western Conference is vulnerable? Houston is losing a bunch of games. I'm not sure what to make of the Lakers' start with Luka. It's been wobbly.
Right.
Anthony Davis is hurt. De'Aaron Fox is gone. Wemby's out, and the Suns are a mess. Is this suddenly more gettable than it was 3 weeks ago?
Well, among the teams you mentioned, yes. The Warriors could play with those teams. But I think the top two teams in the West are Oklahoma City and Denver. And if I had to pick one, I would pick Denver. And, you know, they're playing well. They're the hottest team in the league right now. They've won eight straight. Jamal Murray, as he tends to do, he started slow, and that was why they struggled early. But now he's gotten back into midseason form, and they're rolling. And I think, you know, their role players, their bench guys, are settling more into their roles. And Jokic is having just another terrific season. And so they would be my pick. Oh, now, look, OKC, as good as they are young. They would be the youngest team ever to win the NBA championship if they were to do so. And I think that's a problem. Like, I don't know if last year they, you know, took their lumps and maybe and got some postseason experience, but I don't know if that's quite enough for them to go get out of the West this year. Memphis, I question their leadership as far among players, their maturity. So they're not, you know, immovable. And then again, Houston, I just think is way too young. As good a regular season as they've had, I don't think they're, you know, getting out of the West. And every team you mentioned has its warts. So I think outside of Denver and then second I go OKC, yeah, the Warriors might be able to play with those teams. The problem is, can they get through the top two that I mentioned? And obviously, both of those teams' advantage over the Warriors will be inside, right? The size, Holmgren and Hardenstein in OKC, and of course, Jokic, and maybe even Aaron Gordon as far as Denver. So that, to me, in the, like, if the Warriors do make a great run in the postseason and don't get to the finals, the order of business would be to go get some size, because I think that's probably their biggest weakness at this point.
Yeah, and it's been their biggest weakness for this entire run, yet they got four titles out of it. So I do think they're kind of chasing the old paradigm where, you know, you play Draymond at the five and you could get away with it when he was a little bit younger. And Chris, I just want to ask your thoughts about the All-Star weekend in totality, and in particular, the format that we saw with this four-game All-Star elimination tournament. What did you think of the tweaks the league made this weekend?
Well, I wasn't that fond of the format because of the breaks, right? There are two main reasons I didn't like the format. One, the breaks in between games were just way too long. And even the championship, in the championship game, it was a 20-minute break, you know? And from what I'm told, because I was there for All-Star Saturday. I left before the game and watched it at home. But people in the arena, it was really problematic. And they were just, it was just too long. And so that was a problem. But also, there wasn't a lot of basketball, right?
Right.
It was a three-hour production, and you got 30 minutes of basketball. And for an All-Star, if you were on the team that lost the first game, like you may have played 3 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever it was. And so you just didn't get to see a lot of basketball. What I did, I do give the league credit, though. The players played hard. And I'm not saying they gave a playoff performance, but they did play much harder than they had in the past All-Star games. And that was great. Like, they tried to win. There was defense played. There was resistance. Like, that was good, and that was a plus. It is an absolute shame that the players couldn't play like that in a regular game. But I thought it was a step in the right direction. So, you know, look, people are throwing out the idea of an international versus American, you know, All-Star game. I love that. I definitely think the international guys will come to play. I generally feel like a Jokic, a Giannis, when they, you know, they're in the All-Star game, they want to play. And I feel like in the past few years, they've been disheartened because they come to give a regular game effort. And no one else is, and they kind of, you know, then they fall in place with everybody else. But because the international guys would probably play hard, I think that would make the Americans play hard because they wouldn't want to get embarrassed, you know, on a national scene like that. So that, to me, is something that Adam Silver needs to explore. And I look, the way I would do it is I would keep the voting just as it is. Right? So you just vote for All-Stars, how we do now, because there's a history there, and it's important. Like, All-Star games, the amount that you make play a part in Hall of Fame inductions and how we view a player historically. So I don't want to change that. But if you don't, let's say you had like 8 international guys of the 24, I think you just add a few more to fill out the team. They wouldn't be technically All-Stars, but they could play in the game. And I do it like that. You also could just add, you make it 30 All-Stars, 15 in each conference versus 12, which makes sense because you have 30 teams. And that way you probably end up getting at least 10 or to 12 international players. And that'll probably grow over the years too. So I think that would be it could be done, and I would love to see it. I just hope we as the Americans wouldn't get blown away.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, that is one of the hesitations. Hey, man.
Yes, great, yes,
great,
yes.
Great to have you on the show, man. Thank you so much for doing it.
Mark, anytime you need me, you know, I mean, sometimes the schedules don't match, but anytime you need me, reach out.
We always will. Thank you, brother.
All right, guys.
See there he
Chris
goes.
Broussard.
Chris Broussard, FS1.
Love him.
Yeah, yeah. He's the best.
Oh, he's got takes, too, which I like.
Yep, he'll say it.
And I was going to ask him about the LeBron part of it, but I figured it would be easier for him to weigh in on what he thought of the weekend, because even if he thought that LeBron shouldn't have done a last-minute pullout, it's hard for somebody of that stature to really come down on LeBron.
Well, I think it's easy to come down on LeBron. It's not even about whether or not he should have sat out. It's an easy take. You shouldn't have waited until the last minute.
Right.
Like, dude, sit it out. That's fine. Tell us on Tuesday. It's not hard. You're clearly not that hurt. You played, I don't know how many minutes you played.
38 minutes
last night. And I'm seeing everybody, the internet loves it today. It's like Wemby played through a blood clot and LeBron was sore. So, you know, yeah, it's not a good look. But then again, LeBron will survive.
Yeah, and the league will survive. Yep. And, you know, what's the league going to do about it? The guy played in, what, 20 consecutive All-Star games? Right. So he's kind of done his part.
Let's go real quick to the coach in Vallejo. Hey, coach, what'd you want to say? Coach! Man. It's crazy, man. It's crazy to sit on hold on a radio station for like 40 minutes. And then you choke on the open net.
It's tough, and he's a longtime caller, too.
Oh, is he back? Yeah. Okay, let's try again.
Okay, that's take good, because I was about to debut my Chris Broussard. But go ahead,
okay.
Coach.
3, 2, Coach, what are you doing?
Coach.
Hey, Gareth, how you doing?
We're doing great, man. Yeah, okay, so are we.
Okay, you know, I'll get to the point. I think you guys are kind of looking at that Kuminga Butler thing the wrong way. Right now, you don't need – it's kind of positionless basketball, okay? And if you start Kuminga with Butler and technically say Butler is the two, you know, he handles the ball well enough. Draymond handles the ball well enough. Kuminga actually handles the ball well enough, along with Steph, of course. What you should be looking at is what something Kerr did say, an awesome defense. Man, you're going to have a hard time scoring against the Warriors, you know, if they started out that way. I mean, they're going to have mismatches almost at every position. Mm. I mean, one-on-one, Butler, Kuminga, they're going to be able to dominate their man. Whoever the two is that's going to try to guard either one of those guys, you really only need one person out there shooting threes on a regular basis, especially on this Warrior team, and that's Steph. Steph is actually the only reliable three-point shooter on this team. Second is Moses Moody. Okay, so I would definitely play them together, you know, because that's going to be very hard to defend, and you're going to have a heck of a time trying to score against them.
Coach, thank you very much for the call. Let's respond to that on the other side. I see that very, very differently as far as whether or not we're overrating Jonathan Kuminga as a defender, number one, and number two, the idea that you only need one three-point shooter on the floor at any given time. I see it a little differently. All good. Let's respond to that coming up. Bob Fitzgerald's a half hour away. Steve Kerr is just over an hour away. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. It's Willard and Dibbs.
Bay Area, it's Quinta Post. Catch my head coach Steve Kerr with Willard and Dibbs each and every week right here on 95.7 The Game.
And that'll be in an hour and 11 minutes. Steve Kerr today. What a great day to have Steve as we get back to action with a lot of questions about where the Warriors go from here, getting Jonathan Kuminga back in. And then also, by the way, we will talk to him about, I don't know if any of you have checked out Netflix and Court of Gold.
Mm.
And I got through, I don't know, about 18 minutes of the first episode.
Like you said in the crossover, you are an elite sleeper.
Dude.
The eyes get closed, and you're out.
It's not even...
Go on.
The eyes don't even have to close. I just have to stop.
Just put down the device, sit down, and take a deep breath.
Yeah.
And you're asleep.
Yeah. People think I'm a jerk. It's not that I'm a jerk. If I let you talk for too long, I'll be asleep.
Oh, boy.
That's it.
Yeah.
Gone. Go on.
And that's why I only get 28 seconds at a time, because you'll be asleep.
Yeah. No, sorry.
Because you'll fall asleep.
Totally.
Otherwise. And I get that. Yeah.
No joke. I used to love going to movies. I can't do it anymore. If you put me, especially now, these movie theaters, what the hell did you do to your seats?
Oh, so comfortable.
These things are Barca loungers now. And your feet are up. You got popcorn on your left, like a soda on your right. No chance.
Yep.
Like, you could rock Star Wars or I mean, whatever. Nope.
Yep.
Gone.
Even in like an IMAX theater, you could still fall asleep.
Gone.
With like the surround sound.
Dude.
In triple double Dolby or whatever they call it.
Dude, my sister and I took our daughters over the holidays. Jude came too. We went to go see Wicked. You know how Wicked came out. And it's super intimidating. You know what that is, by the way.
Yeah, it's a movie.
It's also
an intimidation sensation. It's an
intimidation sensation. You get ready to go to this movie. They're like, oh, by the way, it's 3 hours long. And you're like, all right. Well, what's right. Look, I'm not going to do this stupid macho thing of like, oh, they're singing, it's a chick thing. No, I like Wicked. We saw it. We saw the actual stage performance here in the city late last year. We went to see the movie. Loved the music. Actually thought the movie was really, really well done. Doesn't mean I didn't get a nap in.
3 hours is a long time.
3 hours?
Yeah.
In a dark room, in a lounger with popcorn and a soda? Who can do that?
Right.
Are there people out there who can do that?
Well, I'm sure the people who can do it are the ones who are singing every single word, every song.
Yeah.
And I think that's frowned upon. Like, didn't they tell people, like, when you go to the movie, please don't sing because they want... like the people who've never seen it to just like be able to, I don't know, watch the movie and hear the actual singer sing?
Probably. I would think, you know, you're supposed to turn your phone off and not sing. Also, before I hit this Shams Bombs, this update, the Dodgers are getting their butts kicked. That's it.
I mean, what does that mean?
It means they're losing by 8 runs.
In a baseball game?
Yep.
It's February.
I don't care. People in Dodger uniforms are getting their A kicked.
Okay.
It's actually over. They already lost.
Yeah! What was the final score, Grandy?
1 sec.
Did it end 12-4?
I think so.
Okay.
God, I haven't opened up baseball scores in forever.
Exactly. Hold on.
Nobody even knows where to find them. Anyway, the Dodgers are 0-1.
12-4 final.
12-4. Yep. The Dodgers are 0-1. I don't want to hear any of this they can't be beat crap. They got their A kicked today.
Yeah, boy, in February.
That's right.
In a meaningless game.
They never get a second chance to make a first impression.
Yeah.
There it is.
Who'd they throw today?
Yamamoto started.
And who did they even play?
The Cubs.
I know, but who are the players that they actually put out there?
People in Cubs uniforms.
And people in Dodger uniforms. Yes. I get it.
That's what they did.
Yamamoto struck out 2 in the first inning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they lifted him.
Mookie Betts, 0-1. Okay. He played, but he didn't play well.
He got one at bat.
0-1. Well, he went up there a second time, but he walked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he walked. So anyway, Dodgers stink. There you have it. 888-957-9570. You ready for this?
Please.
This is a little something else. Shams said this today on Get Up on ESPN.
Giannis Antetokounmpo loves the Bucks, but I'm here to tell you he loves winning more, and that's why everyone within that Bucks organization, they know what's at stake this season. They know the pressure. And every summer when Giannis looks around and he looks at the Bucks' current roster, he looks at sustained long-term winning. Where will he be able to find that? And he has said publicly on the record, if he feels like that's not attainable anymore in Milwaukee, he will look elsewhere. But of course, he has tried always to make everything work in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
So now we're back on that train again.
Of course.
Well, and by the way, I don't know where your head goes when you hear that. I can tell you where mine is. If he's insinuating that Milwaukee needs to make a deep run this year in order for him to want to stay in Milwaukee, well, then he's gone. They're not going to make a deep run this year in the NBA playoffs.
Well, what's a deep run? Like Eastern Conference Finals?
Yes.
Would that be a deep run?
Sure.
They might.
I don't see it.
I don't necessarily see it. Like, Cleveland and Boston are the class of the East. And
New York is better. And I know Indiana's the only other team ahead of them right now. But, hot take alert. If Detroit played Milwaukee in a playoff series today, Detroit would win.
I had no chance.
Yes, they would.
That I'm not buying.
They're a better team.
Well, right now, maybe they're a better team. But part of that, I think, is, you know, Giannis and his new cast of characters figuring each other out. And you get into April. And I do think what Chris Broussard said about Oklahoma City applies to Detroit and a lot of other teams about the relative inexperience and how much experience matters in the playoffs. And I do think that's a factor for the Warriors if they ever make it into the playoffs this season. And, yeah, I think it's premature to throw dirt on the casket of Milwaukee.
No, I'm not throwing dirt on their casket other than to say that right now, if that is the demand, And it's kind of funny, too. Like, we've arrived at this spot for a while now here in the NBA where the team needs to prove it to the player as opposed to the other way around. And I get that. Like, he wants help, but it's kind of interesting. Milwaukee's a really interesting one. They've made every move he's asked for. So at what point does it become Giannis's responsibility? And one of the reasons I bring this up is to point out something about Steph Curry. Steph Curry has literally said after these last two disappointing seasons, when you're talking about making moves or trade deadline stuff, Steph will say, we have to earn that. You have to play well enough to earn that. And then if you get that, like what's the way Steve Kerr phrased it in that article earlier this year? We just want to give Steph that at bat. We'll give you all the resources, and then you go do what you can do with it. What has Milwaukee not done for Giannis that he's asked for? First of all, they've taken his brother on a journey where he gets to play with him every single night of the year, and he's not even an NBA player. You start with that.
Yeah, I mean, if he even ever plays.
Oh, whatever. He gets to travel with him. They go out and acquire Dame Lillard. Chris Middleton's always hurt. They turn him into Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah.
Every time they've wanted to make a move, they make a move. And the Bucks seemingly get worse every time they do something.
Right.
So,
and do we know that these are moves that he has mandated? Like,
I mean, you know how the NBA works.
I do, but I mean, Steph has never been the guy to have his finger on the trigger. I don't think he was the one saying, you know, get me Jimmy Butler.
You sure?
Well, I don't know if it was definitively Jimmy Butler. I do know that he called Kevin Durant and tried to woo him.
Exactly.
And KD said, nah, I'm good. But it doesn't mean that if they don't make the move for Steph that he's going to throw a hissy fit. He's never said one word in that fashion.
I don't think Steph Curry and hissy fit even belong in the same sentence. But one thing that I've learned about not just watching Steph Curry through the years, but having a little bit of access to things in the organization, Steph Curry is an absolute...
Thank you.
There's nobody more competitive. I don't really love when we call people killers. That's not my favorite thing, but you know what I'm saying. Steph Curry, don't get fooled by his look. And so is Steph behind the scenes helping push these buttons? I can't confirm it, but good Lord, I definitely vote yes. Of course he is. You don't think Steph Curry's got a humongous imprint on weighing in on what the Warriors are about to do or not do?
Yes, but at the same time, you haven't ever heard a Shams report about, you know, if Steph Curry doesn't get a competitive run, if they don't make a deep run, well, then he's going to have to examine what he wants to do with his future.
But that's my point. That's my point.
That's my point about Steph, though.
When you make the move, then Steph is going to put the onus on himself.
Right.
Milwaukee is making the move, and Shams is very much sounding like Giannis is still putting the onus on the organization to play well in the playoffs.
Well, and maybe
it's on you now, dude.
It's on him, of course, but he is the one who landed them their only title in the history of the organization.
I get it.
And he's still at a spot where, what is he, 30 years old now, and he's got two more years under contract and a player option, and he's got all the clout. He's got the clout, and Steph, and LeBron, and all the rest of these alphas, all the rest of the number ones for the most part on most of these teams, you have the opportunity to, if you don't go on a deep run, and your team is not as good as you want, whether or not you authored the moves, you can still say, I want out.
Of course you can.
And the team's got to move you.
I understand that, and by no stretch am I saying that you shouldn't want Giannis on your basketball team. It's just, it gets interesting to me when you start to see the way this stuff gets shaped by stars. I mean, I've heard people do this with regard to LeBron James for years, in terms of spitting people out and acquiring this, that, and the other, and then when it doesn't work. You know, I mean, where do you put it? When you are that level of a star, an organization is going to do whatever they can to put people around you. But what I'm watching Milwaukee do, you're right. He won a championship. And then since then, it's gone down, down, down. And they've acquired people, and they've given him what he's asked for, and it's not getting any better. They're 29-24 right now.
Yeah, it's a struggle.
They're barely better than the Warriors.
They're a game ahead of Detroit, who has become the flavor of the month, and the Pistons playing great. And Milwaukee, Maybe it takes time to add Kyle Kuzma to the mix and figure out how your new big three is going to work. Because maybe. Kuzma's a guy who can get you 20, 22, 24 a night. And so far, it hasn't really fit with Milwaukee.
Yeah. I'd much rather watch a star. I mean, look at Jokic, by the way. I mean, I don't hear Nikola Jokic being like, all these people you put around me, they're all B-level players. They're good. Jamal Murray's good. Aaron Gordon's good. Porter's good.
Yeah, Jamal Murray's an A-level player.
Yeah. That's fringy. Jamal Murray is not Jason Tatum or someone like that. I don't think. But you don't hear Jokic be like, I'm going to need, like they lost last year, I'm going to need more. So the onus is on you. You got Dame Lillard for crying out loud.
Right.
It's on you. It's on you to go win.
Dame 34 now, quietly.
Yeah, but he's still Dame. He's still Dame. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube. Powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online, or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.